Old Mama-san didn't say anything. She never did. But Sully could see in her eyes that she did know what it all went to prove. People were funny. Kids say the darndest things. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Also, God bless America. Anyway, that whole week they chased us, and it started to get obvious. They were bearing down, squeezing the sides. Our casualties kept going up, and you couldn't get any sleep because of the flares and the choppers and the howling they'd do at night back there in the tules. And then they'd come at you, see 20 of them, 3 dozen of them, poke and pull back like that. And they had this thing they'd do. Sully licked his lips, aware that his mouth had gone dry. Now he wished he hadn't gone to Pags' funeral. Pags had been a good guy, but not good enough to justify the return of such memories. They'd set up 4 or 5 mortars in the bush on one of our flanks, you know. And beside each mortar, they'd line up 8 or 9 guys, each one with a shell. The little men in the black pajamas all lined up like kids at the drinking fountain back in grammar school. And when the order came, each guy would drop his shell into the mortar tube and then run forward just as fast as he could. Running that way, they'd engage the enemy, us, at about the same time their shells came down. It always made me think of something the guy who lived upstairs from Bobby Garfield told us once when we were playing pass on Bobby's front lawn. It was about some baseball player the Dodgers used to have. Ted said, this guy was so fucking fast he could hit a fungo pop fly at home plate then run out to shortstop and catch it himself. It was sort of unnerving. Yes. The way he was sort of unnerved right now. Sort of freaked out. Like a kid who makes the mistake of telling himself ghost stories in the dark. The fire they poured into that clearing where the choppers went down was only more of the same, believe you me. Except that wasn't exactly true. The Kong had let it all hang out that morning, turned the volume up to 11, and then pulled the knobs off, as Mims liked to say. The shooting from the bush around the burning choppers had been like a steady downpour instead of a shower. There were cigarettes in the Caprice's glove compartment, an old pack of Winston's Sully kept for emergencies, transferring from one car to the next whenever he switched rides. That one cigarette he'd bumped from Diefenbaker had awakened the tiger, and now he reached past old Mama-san, opened the glove box, pawed past all the paperwork, and found the pack. The cigarette would taste stale and hot in his throat, but that was okay. That was sort of what he wanted.